Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me, little Chicago, bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Don't forget to take our poll question, which is right there on the homepage. We have a different one every week. Joel Bourne is with us, folks. Joel is a contributing writer for the National Geographic magazine. The October edition of National Geographic is going to have is Joel's story, the cover story for the Nat Geo magazine is going to be Joel's story, right, Joel?
That's correct.
Congratulations on that, and so look for that, folks. The story and the television program that's going to be on tonight is called Explorer: Can the Gulf Survive? And Joel, you were just telling us about the magnitude of this. For a few weeks, people were saying, well, you know, this is dissipating. It looks like everything's kind of dissipated. Maybe it's been absorbed or it's been diffused or whatever. But recently, I saw something that showed that at the bottom of the Gulf, especially in the area around the spill, is just covered in oil. What do you think?
That's right, and we've interviewed those researchers as well. Dr. Samantha Joy out of University of Georgia is down there doing some research, and you know, basically, she's one of the scientists that discovered the subsea plumes.
Right.
And again, because they put so much of this dispersant in the water right there at the wellhead, it turned a lot of that oil into these tiny little micro droplets that didn't get to the surface. Now, what we know from past spills is if the oil gets to the surface, there are things you can do to it. You can burn it. You can skim it. You know, essentially, and 40% of it tends to evaporate as well. So once it gets to the surface, there are things you can do. If it stays subsurface, there's virtually nothing you can do. You kind of have to let the bacteria have at it. And sometimes they're efficient at disposing of oil, sometimes, especially in areas of low oxygen.
That's one thing a lot of people don't realize. There are microbes that will eat this oil. And you
That's
talked
right.
about...
I mean, oil is a natural substance. There are about 1,000 barrels that seep into the Gulf every day from natural seeps. You know, this was just an enormous load of carbon into this one particular spot. And the microbes, you know, they're not that efficient. It's hard to depend on them. And especially if they get in low oxygen sediments, whether it's at the seafloor, whether it's in the marshes, embedded in some of those marsh muds, the oil just sticks around.
Well, and it could also impact the natural balance. If the microbes have that much food to eat, it could affect the ecosystem's balance, couldn't it?
Jim, you're exactly right, and I think that's what the great fear is. You know, now that they cap the well, it's done, and there's no more oil flowing in the Gulf, you know, everybody's sort of heaving a sigh of relief. But the fishermen know that it's not what's going on this year. You know, this year's class of fish that's worried about. It's what's going to happen when the eggs and the larvae of the crabs and the oysters and all those commercial fin fish are bathing this stuff. You know, what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen to the catches three years out?
This could be an impact for generations. What do you think?
Well,
have you answered the question yourself, Joel? Can the Gulf survive this?
I think it can. I think it's going to be, as always, a matter of time. And in my article, I interviewed, you know, fishermen from Mexico, from Veracruz, who were alive and fishing when the Ixtoc spill hit them in 79. And they told me it took 10 to 15 years for their reef fisheries to come back to normal, for their catches to come back to normal.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the Atlantic, I interviewed one of the top researchers that looked at the Amoco Cadiz spill in France, which was, again, you know, late 70s. And, you know, they have an incredible mussel and oyster fishery on the Breton coast of France, very similar to, you know, Louisiana. And those guys took 7 years for their catches to come back. So, again, you know, we're lucky in some regards in that the Gulf is set up to dispose of this oil naturally. But it's also not the same Gulf that hit by Ixtoc, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, we've got these big dead zones now that are coming out at the mouth of Mississippi from all the fertilizer runoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got coastal development that's causing stormwater runoff. I mean, there are a lot of more impacts on the Gulf. As productive as it is, you know, there are a lot more things that are sort of weighing it down.
Well,
and so that's one of the things we're looking at. And if you look in the magazine, there's a wonderful supplement map that one side shows all the oil and gas infrastructure in the Gulf of Mexico, which is just mind-boggling, thousands of rigs and pipelines. And on the other side shows sort of the incredible ecological diversity and the productivity of this natural ecosystem that really is one of the most interesting and productive on the planet.
Mm-hmm. The Gulf environment is amazing. And but you know, you mentioned the tens of thousands of rigs. If you think about it, even though this is a horrible catastrophe, the success rate percentage in terms of failure is pretty high, isn't it? With the thousands that are operating successfully, and we've had, you know, you named on less than one, you know, the fingers of one hand, how many we've lost.
Oh, you know, and this is there are two sides to this coin, and, you know, hats off to the industry. I mean, every time I report on the oil and gas industry for probably 10 years, both up in Alaska and down in Louisiana, and you got to hand it to these guys. They work hard. They care about what they do. By and large, they're extremely careful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, up until this event, you know, there had only been, I mean, the number of blowouts was like less than 1%.
Right.
And what happened, though, unfortunately, is they were looking behind them. You know, they were saying, okay, we've gotten really good at doing this in relatively shallow water.
Well, that's what I want to ask you when we come back. I want to ask you, you know, what could have been done, and what have we learned, I guess, is the main thing. What have we learned? Will this catastrophe pay dividends in the future to prevent something like this from happening again? Joel Bourne is our guest. He's with National Geographic Magazine. The television program on television tonight, Explorer, Can the Gulf Survive?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.